Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Sponsoring voter registration drives in Michigan could get a whole lot more complicated if legislation now being considered by lawmakers is passed. It's one of two voting-related Senate bills being considered, and some say they could both create some unnecessary barriers. To get the details, I'm joined by Ben Hovland, senior counsel for the Fair Elections Legal Network. He previously served as the Deputy General Counsel for the Missouri Secretary of State's office, focusing on legal issues related to the administration of state and federal elections. Welcome to the program, Ben.
Thanks, and thanks for having me, Mike. You are exactly right. This legislation that we're looking at is going to make it harder for citizens to get registered and to vote, and it's going to make it harder for community groups to conduct registration drives. It does this in a variety of ways. First, it creates registration forms that must be submitted to the Secretary of State's office or for the groups to inform the Secretary of State's office of what they plan to do and what their registration drive might look like. And then they have to continually update these forms, or there's a variety of other forms that are created that they need to fill out over time. And while that by itself might not sound overly burdensome, if you're a church group or if you're a social studies teacher, this law is going to create new hurdles that take away your time and energy that you could commit toward helping people get registered to vote.
Are voter registration drives an especially effective tool? I mean, don't most people take care of registering when they visit the Secretary of State's office or by mail?
You would think so, and certainly there have been laws passed at both the federal level and the state level that have really attempted to encourage registration, but there are still, millions of people throughout the country who are not getting registered, whether that be at the DMV or through other interactions with the government. And when you say by mail, oftentimes that is something that comes from a voter registration group. And so certainly these voter registration drives are very much a big deal still, and are certainly utilized by a lot of people to get on the rolls. And particularly, these are a great way for members of the community to reach out to one another and to try to get people civically engaged.
So what's the goal behind legislation like this? Is it ultimately to reduce the number of people that are registered to vote?
I think that to answer that question, I think that we really need to look at it in a broader context and think about it. Certainly there are ways to put in reforms that make the system work better, but I think we also have to look at what the reforms' ultimate end product is. Do these reforms make it more realistic that more people are going to be able to participate in the system? And I think the answer there is no. There's a lot of reforms that we have seen in neighboring states that make it more make voter registration much more acceptable. Accessible, sorry. Things like online voter registration is in Kansas and Indiana, and actually it's in a number of other states around the country now. A lot of people are conducting business online these days. They're banking, they're doing other things online, and voter registration shouldn't be an exception. And then also things like early voting or convenience voting that takes into account the long hours that people have to work these days, and that sometimes Tuesday is not necessarily the best day for people to get out and vote.
I'm talking to Ben Hovland, senior counsel for the Fair Elections Legal Network. The premise behind a lot of this legislation is that they're trying to avoid voter fraud. Is that a major problem, and are these tools not effective ways, or are these bills not effective ways to limit that?
I think that is a term that gets thrown around a lot, and I don't know what exactly these laws do to help prevent fraud. Certainly, to the extent that, you know, I guess a good example of where we hear a lot about it is in the photo ID context. And while certainly a requirement for a photo ID seems reasonable to many people because they have one, there are individuals who don't, and there are people who no longer drive and don't have a driver's license as a result, and then that becomes a burden on these people. And when you're talking about a fundamental right, the fundamental right to vote, it's certainly something that we have to take seriously when we're threatening that right for people.
Now, aren't these types of measures really kind of minute compared to the larger reality, which is that almost, what, half Americans don't vote, period? They don't register, they don't go to vote, and they're just not interested in the process at all?
Well, Mike, that's exactly part of the point that I was hoping to make earlier, was that there are a lot of people who are not engaged in the system, and whether or not they're engaged because they're disinterested or because there are barriers that prevent them from getting registered and voting. Certainly another reform that Michigan could think about is Election Day registration, where people can vote on Election Day. You have a lot of the time when people finally tune in and they're interested in the election and they've made their decision, they go to attempt to vote and they find out that they're not registered, and that the deadline has already passed, and so they are in fact prevented from participating at that point.
There are some that say that the political powers that are currently in place, they want to limit voters, and it's basically due to the fact that it helps them remain in power. Is that a completely off-the-wall assertion?
You know, I think at the end of the day, people want a system that is, you know, fair and accessible, and I think that there are occasionally situations that people haven't thought about all the consequences of the legislation they propose. But certainly, we'd like to think the best of our elected officials, and we hope that they, you know, would encourage people to participate in the process.
There's a second Senate bill, which is 751, requiring photo identification for in-person registration and absentee voting. And I guess on the surface, it sounds like a simple way to verify a person's true identity. Is this bill also problematic?
You know, I think that gets back to some of the same issues that we've been talking about. You know, if you happen to be in an office and you're filling out a registration form that day, and you don't have photo ID on you, or if you don't possess the scope or the limited number of photo IDs that are available, you know, then you are going to have to have a ballot that automatically gets challenged, or you're going to have to, it creates a whole series of, you know, more forms, more checkboxes, more process, and ultimately those are just more hoops that people have to jump through in order to participate.
When you compare Michigan to other states, is our registration and voting system less restrictive than many others?
You know, I think that historically, Michigan has been a great state for voters, but some of this legislation and others that have been talked about, you know, it doesn't take too many bad bills to make it a lot harder to vote in a state.
One last thing. I had the Secretary of State on the program a while back, and I asked her about increasing the numbers of voters in the state, and if things like online voting even is something that is possible in the upcoming future. She said that, you know, studies have shown that there's so many ways to manipulate the data within a computer system that it's simply out of the question. I mean, do you agree that while some ways of increasing voter numbers would be very effective, but at the same time would be easy to then manipulate the results of elections?
You know, I think you have to take into account the realities of what's available and what can be done. And what can be done right now with full confidence is things like online voter registration, where you're simply allowing people to get on the rolls so that when they show up on election day, they're there and they're able to cast a ballot.
And that's going actually in the opposite direction of where these types of bills are going.
Correct.
I see. And in terms of that happening nationwide, is it just a few states that now have online registration?
I believe at the last check we're up to 11 states that have passed legislation, and really it's one that's gaining in popularity, both as a recognition that a lot of people are conducting business online and it makes sense to offer that same opportunity, but also as a cost savings. There have been studies done out of Arizona and Washington that have shown those two states were the first two to have online voter registration, and they've seen remarkable cost savings and an improvement in the accuracy of the registrations that are submitted. One, you eliminate duplicative data entry, and then two, the person's typing in their own information. So I'm certainly, it's a lot more likely that I can spell my name correctly than someone trying to read my handwriting and type it in. And so you eliminate a lot of typos, and you eliminate a lot of unnecessary work for election officials.
Well, I don't think it's on the agenda here in Michigan anytime soon, but I guess only time will tell. Ben Hovland, Senior Counsel for the Fair Elections Legal Network, thank you very much for joining me, Ben.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.